24 through 25. Don't you know that when people run on the racetrack, everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize? Run in such a way that you'll win it. Everyone who goes in for athletics exercises, self-discipline, and everything. They do it to gain a crown that perishes. We do it for an imperishable one. 1 Timothy verse 4, 7 through 8. Go into training and godliness. Physical exercise, you see, has a limited usefulness, but godliness is useful in every way. It carries the promise of life both now and in the future. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jake. We have the same text 2 weeks in a row. This is part two. And so we're going to do the same thing we did last week. I'm going to invite you all to stand up. And this is going to be crowdsourced stretching. First thing you need to do is find a partner. Find a partner, and with your partner, hopefully it's someone different than last week, share a favorite stretch that you do. Show them your stretch, and then they do the stretch, and then switch. Then the other person shows the stretch, then you both do the stretch together. Let's stretch. All right, you should switch.
Bothering me the last few weeks, so it's kind of helpful loosen that up.
No, this is a good one for me because I tend to just feel my shoulders really tense.
You know what? I think that that's the same. I don't actually. I hold my stress and all that, but I do find myself.
And there's like.
All right, everyone together. Let's reach for the sky. And let's touch our toes. How many of you actually touched your toes? I did not touch my toes. All right, you may be seated. Everybody feeling good? Now in this church, while we do the preaching of the word, you can stretch in your seat as well. I saw some people doing what's this? I'm not very good at this, obviously. Or this a good one is like just to do this too. People think you might be under the influence of something, but it feels really good on your neck. No, it's good. See, we're learning from each other, and it's the analogy that we've been looking at, the metaphor that we've been looking at over these last couple weeks have been this idea that spiritually speaking, that because of Jesus' work on the cross, because of Jesus' resurrection, because of Jesus releasing his spirit into all of our hearts, it's almost like God has made us spiritual Olympic athletes, that we have this tremendous spiritual potential now, and that for all of us, our spiritually speaking, our best years are ahead of us. That we have just a tremendous sense of hope in our lives and our spiritual lives, and that unlike our physical bodies, the older we get, the better it gets. Of course, we always have spiritual ups and downs. We always have seasons where God feels distant, we feel lost. All those things are true. But the scripture is really clear that we have this tremendous spiritual potential, and that over time, there is like a sense of spiritual growth and maturity and richness that's really a part of our life. And so we've been looking at all these different metaphors. That's that sort of athletic one is just one metaphor. We've also been talking about how Paul tells us that we are now spiritually alive and flourishing. That sense of that's where the word revival comes from, right? That we're alive, that we're made new yet again, that we are a work of art that's being transformed into increasing beauty as God keeps tinkering with us and shaping us, right? And that basically all we have to be is like clay, allowing God to shape us. You may see the prayer bowl that came in We had a prayer meeting last night, a good old-fashioned prayer meeting, right? And we made more of these new clay. What would you call them, Abby? Clay? They're not statues, right? Because that's too big.
Little prayer sculptures.
Yeah, there you go. Prayer sculptures, right? And so this morning, Abby brought them, and she put them in the prayer bowl. There's all these different sculptures, and then she, like, smashed them all, and she, like, integrated them into the prayer bowl. So if you look, take a look on your way out, the prayer bowl is, like, getting thicker and heavier and more resplendent every week. Because that's like us, right? We are getting thicker and heavier. No, no, not that. We are getting more resplendent every week. Sorry, poor choice of words. We also talked about how, spiritually speaking, we are like conquerors. Like, there's this massive spiritual battle out there. Even our schedules, like, everybody's stressed out, everybody's anxious. Like, it's an epidemic in our culture. We have various ways that our culture squeezes us. You know, it's kind of like the text that Ron led us in this morning. Like, don't let yourself be squeezed into the mold shaped by our culture. And Paul actually talks about that as a battle that we get to win. This is very optimistic. He's like, we win this thing. We have a spiritual backbone, in a sense. We have spiritual armor that will protect us from what other people are maybe not protected for. That's what Paul kind of says. And so as we've been seeking spiritual revival in our lives, the first thing we've been looking at is just that we've been asking that God would capture our imagination with these metaphors, and that they would release hope into our lives. Because we keep saying it, your best spiritual years are ahead of you. And for a lot of us, our heart just goes like, nah. You know? So God keeps coming to us with this hope. And I really believe that as hope keeps coming to us, there's a way in which we can gradually like grab a hold of it in a new and fresh way. And that we can support each other, and that hope can really begin to rise as a congregation. That's what we keep praying for, and we're seeing it happen. And so if you feel like hope has not yet met you, don't worry. Don't worry. It's coming. And keep leaning in. Keep being open to hope. And it happens. It really does. Last week we talked about it's not just imagination, because all these things are very, like, they're very beautiful. They're very literary. They're very metaphorical. But last week we began to get very practical. We actually talked about that even the metaphors suggest a lot of practice, right? Literally practice. We talked about how when athletes are really into their sport, they love the training aspect of it. They're training nerds, and they talk to everybody about it, and they're tweaking their training schedules. And just like you just did, you know, you were just athletes like sharing best stretching practices, right? We do that with each other when we have that hope. And so this week, many of us, and thank you to all of you who participated in our little training exercise. What we did is just very simple. We made a spreadsheet. Of course, this church runs on Google Docs. So, of course, this is like sacred space for us. The Google Doc is a sacred space. And some of you who are like organizational nerds, you love spreadsheets, and so it's good. So we have this sacred space on a Google Doc where people just simply wrote down spiritual practices that they've experienced in their life and how they've met God through that, how God has revived them. So far we have like 35 entries. And I was reading through that yet again this morning and just really reflecting on how rich this group of spiritual friends really is. Just the spiritual richness that we have among us. I would really encourage you all to like read that spreadsheet this week. Like, we keep sending out the link, so if you lose it, you'll get another email on it. It's in this week at CWOW. But I really feel like even that itself is a spiritual practice, just to see how the spiritual friends around us, how that we're connecting. It's really cool. And for me anyway, I felt sort of hope rising up as I realized all the like amazing athletes that are really around us. And so we've talked about how really there's an invitation this fall between now and Thanksgiving to like be training for a race together. In the ways that when friends get together and they all say like, let's run this 5K, or like, let's run the marathon. And of course, the asterisk is the marathon actually has a bunch of other events. You're like, dude, I'm just going to do the wheelchair event this year. It's fine. You know, I'm going to do the run walk. If you're done on one of those, you know, competitive walking, it looks very awkward. Your gait is like, but anyway, you can do whatever. And so for all of us, I think we're training, whether you're running a marathon or whether you're doing the 1K walk. We're all training together. We're all growing together. So if last week was really saying, like, hey, man, we are spiritual athletes. We're spiritual Olympic athletes. This week, I think what God is saying to us through these same texts that Jake read, that in our church, in CWOW right now, this community of friends is kind of like the National Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I used to live close to this place. And I actually think that this community is very much like an Olympic training center. Have any of you ever been to this Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs? Anybody been there? One of the reasons that it's there and it's so effective is because it's a mile high. So I used to live in Colorado, and like, boy, the first time I ran in Colorado, I felt like a very, very old man. Like, you're out of breath right away. But it's part of the training, right? You're up there in the altitude, and it's part of what makes you a strong sort of runner. So what I want to do this morning, just to start out, since we ourselves are like the National Olympic Training Center, I just want to give you a little 2-minute tour of the National Olympic Training Center.